tuned into the Audio Asylum. Let's get crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's most pointless podcast. Welcome to the Audio Asylum. I'm Joe, still. And with me, returning to the show, is my best friend Tina.
Whoop, whoop. And I'm still here.
Yeah,
I don't
you know.
Want to be, but we're here.
We're here, though. Do I sound low at all?
No, you sound perfect.
It was my computer volume. I'm an idiot. But yeah, so I just gave you like a cliff note. Basically, I texted Tina a few days ago and I was like, yo, it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, it is.
Let's do an episode. I know it's kind of the end of the month, but fuck it. You'll listen to this shit. It's important. It shouldn't be 1 month. It should be every month.
Hell yeah.
And the reason why I kind of like just gave you a cliff note is because of multiple reasons I'm about to say now. So for those of you that are new listeners, because we've gained a bunch of those, me and Tina have been like best friends for a very long fucking time.
To give precise numbers, to be exact, it's actually been about, because we met when we were 14. And yeah. I'm not afraid to say my age. I'm turning 28 this year. So, 14 years.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my God, I can't do math. Oh God.
We've
14,
been
yeah, 14, 14, 28. Yeah, it's been literally since freshman year of high school.
Yeah. Well, like we met in eighth grade, but.
Yeah, but we didn't really like get a lot closer.
Yeah.
And really like really understand and like get to know each other until freshman year.
Yeah, exactly. So like my thought process of this was like, I want to do this fun mental health episode because one, you go to school for some of this stuff.
Yeah, social work and sex therapy.
Yeah. And two, like sometimes I feel like you and me know each other better than what we know ourselves.
Yeah, because it's kind of like when you're around for someone for so long, like you get to know literally every bit and piece about the person, whether it's the most beautiful, the ugly, the dark, and the most brightest. And that's what I think like a lot of our friendship has been over the years, just really knowing and learning about each other and really just honestly solidifying our friendship as strong as we have it. And it's funny because we were just having this conversation earlier about, because there are times where if me and him are very, very busy, we are kind of like missing each other. Like when we're trying to call or text, or it can be as to the point where we're just like sending each other one words because we're just caught up with what's going on. So it's kind of like just happened recently. Like my son had a fever. My mom has bronchitis. I was sick. Dom was away for 2 weeks. Then Belle graduated. It was also her birthday. We went to the Rampage and took her out. So it's just been chaotic the last couple of weeks. That earlier today, I'm like, I feel very uncomfortable. I feel so disconnected from you because it's one of these instances where I'm like, I haven't connected with Joe. I haven't like recharged myself, if that makes sense, with Joe. So I feel so freaking disconnected, but it's good because we're always able to kind of pick back up where we left off.
Yeah.
Which was always one of the most beautiful things that I loved about our friendship. And
yeah.
Just side note, but for my mental health, I needed one of these.
If I know you the way I think I know you, there's not coffee in there, there's water.
Correctamundo, yeah! Baby!
I saw the Dunkin' thing. I was like, no way there's coffee in there.
Nah. Oh, but you know what's fun? This actually goes into the last 2 weeks. You know I started drinking coffee?
Really? Tina's never drank coffee. At least around me.
I can't stand coffee. I hate coffee. It's disgusting. The smell, the coffee bean, like literally nothing. I hate it. But Elizabeth ended up started getting this drink from Starbucks. It is called, let me put you on. It is called a tall, hot white mocha latte with oat milk and vanilla.
Ooh.
It doesn't even taste like coffee. And when I tell you I'm on my fucking ass after because there's espresso in it, I'm off the walls. Like I'm just ready. Like I'm out running Lorenzo.
Yeah.
But Yeah, those are just, oh my God. Other than that, I still won't drink coffee. It's fucking disgusting. But that I will drink. It's
but so you good. Found your drink to get out of Starbucks.
Well, before that, I was drinking, and I still drink the mango, like dragon fruit refreshers with lemonade.
Yeah, but that's like not like a breakfast drink.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's more of like a refresher.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Refresher.
Yeah.
When you need something sweet during the day, or you just want something, like if you're picking up, like if you're just like running errands and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, nah, coffee is just horrible. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, but I shouldn't, because your boy found out you had high blood pressure a month ago. So
bro, you were obsessed with oh my God. I remember when the what coffee was this? The chocolate chip cookie dough.
The cookie dough flavored iced coffee.
Man, Duncan. I was getting a text every single morning from him with his cookie dough iced coffee there. I was about to say ice cream. But yeah, you're obsessed with coffee.
Yeah, it's not good. But yeah, like I wanted to kind of also do this episode with you because of the fact that, you know, I feel like we've been going through mental health transition periods.
Yeah,
like definitely. Big time, like big. Over the past few years. And, you know, little increments here and there, like have been shared on the show. But right. I figured if we were going to deep dive into it and like kind of talk about how we cope or what's changed and whatever, I felt like you were the best person to do it with.
And God, I love unpacking my trauma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
But, you know, I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think a lot, I mean, together we've been through a lot in the past 4 years alone.
Yeah, collectively, individually, it's been a lot.
But I want to say, and like I said, you can tell me what you think, COVID, I think, did a lot of good for me and you, but I think it also fucked us up too.
It absolutely did. Like, it's funny because like, it's disheartening because COVID really negatively affected a lot of people in so many different capacities. And for me, honestly, like, it was weird. Like you just said, like COVID, I felt like did do a little bit good for me in a way, because like in the middle of like, because of COVID, I moved, I had a baby, I got a brand new car, like, because I needed to get around and stuff. I started grad school. And even still, like the biggest thing for me was the grad school piece, because that program, the programs that I'm in right now, I had desired to get into for so many years, but between not having a reliable car to get to class on time, and then, you know, things were structured differently before COVID. COVID changed everything. So they were having us like going to class like every other weekend. And mind you, like from the Bronx to where I go, like it's almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it was like damn near impossible for me to do that in the Versa. But now that I got my new car, like I was then able to do that. Plus they changed their schedule. So it's like, instead of going every other weekend, you sometimes are only going only 2 weekends out of the semester, which is a hell of a lot better than and cost effective than every other weekend. But the point being that, yeah, COVID really just, it's changed so much, but it brought so many positive things for me. Like, it's crazy.
Well, would you say Lorenzo was definitely, I mean, yeah, right? Like Lorenzo was the most positive thing. It's that and getting out of the Bronx, right?
It was definitely, yeah, that, like getting out of the Bronx, because even seeing what the Bronx has turned into now and just how things have drastically and violently have changed, it's just, it's scary shit. Like when I had first gotten pregnant with Lorenzo, I didn't know what to do in terms of like my living situation, because I knew I didn't want to raise him in the Bronx. But then it was one of those things of like, well, what if I just stay in the Bronx and stay here until maybe he has to go to school? And then that'll kind of give me the reason then to move a little bit further up. But I just honestly was just grateful and blessed with how everything just happened the way that it did. Like I transferred doctors up here, so I had a different level of healthcare in terms of my pregnancy. But yeah, Lorenzo was like the best out of literally the whole situation. He was, and he still is. He is.
I think that, like, I definitely saw like a change in you when you moved. and you seemed so much happier. But that, like, it was weird, right? Because I was super happy for you. And it took a minute to sink in that I couldn't just ride my bike to your house. Like,
or I could
like, there
just
were times where
car.
I forgot. Like, there were times where I legitimately forgot where, like, I would ride around the neighborhood and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I can't, like, stop in front of the crib. They're not there anymore.
Yeah, we're about to get real mushy up in here because, yeah, so even, like, the audience here, like, even, like, honestly, that was the biggest negative, let alone biggest adjustment that I've had to probably do in my life.
Me
which
too.
Was moving and then having to stay more at a distance and separated from you, because it's hard when you're with somebody every single day, or you're with them every other day, or you're talking to them, or just because there were times where I would just show up to your house through the front door and where I'm just like, well, what are we going to do today? And you're like,
yeah, legit.
I don't know. Like, we'll do anything. So that was just, it was such a giant adjustment for me. And it still is. Like, I'm still having negative adjustment stuff because of the fact that I'm still not up the block and around the corner from you. And don't get me wrong, like, now I have somebody else here that's still up the block and around the corner from me, but it's not the same still, because it's literally a relationship that I've had with you for almost 14 years at this, 14 years at this point. And that's like one of my longest relationships.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Like,
yeah, for me, it's really you and Joelle. Yeah, you, Joelle, and Gaston. Hey, but it was hard for me too, because not only did you move and have a baby, but then, you know, Mike has a baby.
Yeah, Mike and Brittany literally had their baby like 4 months after I did.
And there goes like one of my other, let me run out of the house.
Yeah.
And see this goofy fuck that could take my mind off shit. And it's like, yo, I can't ask him to chill. His wife's pregnant.
Yeah, it's, man.
And
that was a rough transition period. It still is, like I said before. But
it still is for me, too. Like, I think the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, yo, all I have to do is sign on to this little website and hit approve for, like, these assignments. Like I say it on the show every now and then. I work in a school and like that's it. Then I could just like do anything. So I think the first month or two, I was like, I'm gonna crush beers and play video games and catch up with all these movies I haven't watched, all these shows I haven't finished, all these songs I've wanted to learn on guitar. And the first month and a half to 2 months, I was chilling, dog, because you and me are the same in this department. I like people, but I also don't.
Yeah, it's again, I was thinking about this earlier, like just the fact of even having to some, because like before we had gotten on here, I was like, you know what, because I had literally before we got here, I did food shopping. I brought the groceries all up the stairs. I put all the groceries away. So then I come downstairs. My house, when I tell you, is a bomb. It is terrible. But as soon as I got downstairs, I'm like, I need to take a quick shower before I get on this podcast. Cause like, it's like one of those things where like, I need to take care of myself in order to be focused and recharged enough to be here in this space. So yeah, like it kind of just goes like into the topic of like things that we do to self-care. But one of those things for me in those type of situations is either A, taking a shower, or actually giving you a call.
Well, it's funny you said self-care, cause that was going to tie into my next question. For me, during the pandemic, I think the biggest form of self-care I found was riding my bike, which was new for me.
Yeah. Like, we were you still are, like, into the biking and getting around.
Yeah. During the winter, I was miserable because I couldn't ride it.
Yeah, that was rough.
I think that was something I did during the pandemic that was like, holy shit, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
That and piano, but especially riding the bike was like, oh my God, like, everything's closed. I can hit the bike trails and go to City Island or Orchard Beach or fucking Nuro. And like, I loved it. And I realized how much it helped in this weird way. It was a form of self-care, downtime that was still productive because it's physical.
Right.
When anything for you during the pandemic, that was like any new form of self-care that you were like, yo, I didn't try this before. This is kind of lit. Even if it's something as simple as a show, because I found a lot of shows and shit.
You know what's funny is I actually didn't really start anything new because I kind of felt like at a certain point I didn't have time. And what I mean by that is I was pregnant and I worked my whole pregnancy. That didn't stop me. I literally stopped working the week before I was supposed to give birth. And the only reason why I gave myself that break was because of the fact that like I worked in the middle of the pandemic. Like I just because I got pregnant didn't mean my job stopped and I was an essential worker. So I had to show up to work and I was driving down to the Bronx an hour and a half up, hour and a half back every single day. I was nauseous. I was sick. My feet were swollen. Like it was like the beginning, like stages of my pregnancy. I was traveling back and forth to the Bronx, still having to work. And Dom was also unemployed because of COVID with his job stuff. So it was pregnant Tina trucking her ass to the Bronx to go work. And then even after that, when I left the Bronx, I then got a job up here and I was still working. And then even after I gave birth, I took the exact 6-week maternity leave. My ass was back at work.
Jeez.
So yeah, like it was just, and then while also doing that, that's when I started grad school that March. Like Lorenzo was only 3 months old when I started grad school.
So your self-care so
I've just was- been, my self-care has just been, I've been on the go, 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 like, and just momming it, really.
Like for your mental state, and I mean, I'm your friend, so I kind of know the answer. But then again,
yeah,
like we said, you know, sometimes it's hard to catch up because our schedules are so different now.
Yeah.
I can only imagine one of the things, like, I'm a mom now. Mm-hmm. I can't go to every concert that comes around now when things reopen. I can't go to every wrestling show. I can't go out to the bar like every now and then. Now, like, it was one of the scary things, like, fuck, like, all right, I'm just gonna ask it in its rawest form. Go. Was one of the things like, oh shit, it's over?
Yeah
like you have that thought,
yeah,
like,
because once you because you know what it is, like, it's more about, yes, I'm a mom, but I still have my own identity that's beside from being a mom.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm starting to realize too, of like, this is why like a lot of like women, when they get older and their kids move out or they transition on to other parts of their life, like they're having these midlife crisis because they spent the last 18, 20 years dedicated solely to their child that they lost kind of their own identity in the process of that. So it's not to say that I'm not going to be dedicated and devoted to my child. It's not that. It's just, I know that for me, my self-identity comes from, excuse me, like my educational stuff. Like I'm in school for social work. I'm in school for sex therapy. Those are things that I enjoy and those are my passions. And they drive me to want to advocate and to talk and to just spread awareness and to just really get into the nit-grit therapy of things. So that was really hard because there were certain like concerts I remember even from, I think it was like last summer that you had went to that I was just like, I can't fucking go. Like, yeah. Between not having the childcare or just not being able to, because now I live like over an hour away. So now it's like, fuck, like it's not like it's in Long Island where it was 45 minutes from the Bronx. Or if you go to the city, then it's only like 50 minutes on the train. Like for me, it's almost a 2-hour commute.
Yeah.
So, and the other part too is when we would go to the city, like I wouldn't be the DD.
Yeah.
But it's like now that I have to drive back after I'm done, I gotta drive and it's like, fuck.
Yeah, like you gotta end the party a little earlier.
Not even that, just more of like I can't drink, I can't get plastered because I have to drive home.
Yeah.
And then it's like, even if I don't drive home and I stay the night, for example, it's like I still, like me personally, I'm just like, I need to be up early and kind of head out early because I have my son.
Yeah.
So it's not like I could just sleep in your bed until fucking 12. And then it's just like, oh, I'm going to get out of bed now and have breakfast. Like,
yeah,
bitch, your son is on his nap time.
Yeah.
But so
I was going to say, I think, you know, at least for me as your friend, mm-hmm. I know that now when you do get to do something and I get to be there for it, or we get to plan something like we're doing tomorrow, like, right. I feel like we enjoy, I feel like, not that we never appreciated the moments before, because we go into the memory bank all the time in conversation.
Yeah.
But I think now there's almost like this unspoken, but we already know it, of like how much the time spent is going to be like cherished, like living in the moment. I don't know if you've peeped this the past few times. There's the Bronx coming out of me, guys. Peeped this. But the past few times that we've hung out, rarely on our phones.
Yeah,
I feel like I don't want to be on the fucking phone
when I'm with you. Yeah. Like I barely see you as it is. And sometimes, like I said, we have those hit or misses where things just get chaotic. So it's just like, I don't want to be on the fucking phone when I see Joe. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near it. Like, and sometimes too, my family's like looking for me. They can't get in contact with me. And I'm like, I don't exist to you people right now. Like, don't talk to me. Don't call me. Like, oh God. But yeah, like I noticed that too the last time we were together.
Yeah, rarely on the phone. And also it ties into something you and me both did at separate points in time. You, I want to say you did, but you still are kind of on like a social media like hiatus. You hop on very rare.
Yeah,
you post.
I try to stay
very
off of
rare.
It.
And you know, what, I don't think we talked about this on the last episode. Like, you know, we'll get into mine after, but what was your decision for doing that? Because I don't even think I ever asked you that in general. I just know one day I was like, yo, she ain't posting.
It was a couple of different things. It was more of, I just realized like being on the phone wasn't productive for me. I had a son to focus on and I had to worry about his development and him, you know, reading and stacking cups and putting rings away and putting things away. And he's not going to learn that if he sees me just scrolling on the phone all day. Yeah. So that was one piece of it. And the other piece of it was, I also was starting grad school and I was because I take my academics extremely seriously. So I have a 4.0 average right now and I've already been in school almost 2 years. Like
fucking
I take like...
flames.
Like, yeah, like I have a 4.0 average. I have a full-time mom. Like I take my stuff very seriously. So for me, it was more of like, I need to get off social media, because even when I did my bachelor's degree, like, you know, I was a young 20-year-old, like just living my life, but you start to, you know, like once I got to grad school, I just didn't want to repeat certain patterns and other mistakes that I made during undergrad, because this is a lot more serious, because it's a specialization degree. It's not undergrad where it's like you can just like take a whole bunch of elective courses or just take courses that you may find interesting later on. Like this is different than that. So it was that. And then also like, I don't know. I'm kind of in this place too now of like, how do I find the right words? I'm trying to think of like the right, like,
relation,
but.
Was it just like the toxicity of it sometimes?
That's what I'm trying to get into, like to word it. It's kind of like, I don't know. It kind of just feels like at a certain point, like, To me, and this is not against anyone who likes social media, who uses social media, who goes on social media. Like, I'm really not trying to bash anybody at all. This is just me personally. It just kind of got to a point where it just felt like people were just posting and putting things online to kind of just one up the other person, or to either bash the shit out of them for something that they're doing or not doing. And it's like, this is not an appropriate space for this. Like,
it became a dick measuring contest.
Yes. There we go. Like it was kind of like that and that's the thing, like between people getting their accomplishments or having certain life transitions and shit. And it's nothing against them either, but it's literally like what you said, like it became a dick measuring contest. And it's like, I already have self-esteem issues. I have confidence stuff. Like
same.
I'm in the process of still restructuring my whole being. So it's like, I can't add on to that, like what I'm already dealing with. Like that's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for my mental health, and it's not healthy for my kid, because at the end of the day, he's the one dealing with it, because he's with me 24 hours a day. So my energy starts to radiate off of him. And one thing that I've noticed about him specifically, if you are just in a negative energy or in a negative space, he picks up on it.
He doesn't like when people are on the phone either, I've noticed.
No, he hates it. He
doesn't like it. Yeah.
No, he does not like when people are scrolling on the phone or they're sitting on the phone. Like, he'll literally have a fit. Like, I exist. Why are you not playing with me? Why are you not interacting with me? Like, he's just one of those kind of kids. But yeah, the social media stuff, I seriously had to take a break. I just couldn't do it. Like, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Snapchat. I've never been on Twitter, like, ever.
Yeah, Twitter sucks.
I hate Twitter.
Yeah.
But I'm still on Insta every now and then. Like, I still have it downloaded. I still go on it every now and then. But you know what I did? This is so bad. I'm revealing my secret right now. I ended up figuring out how to turn off the setting on Insta that shows that you're not active.
Oh, yeah.
So I turned that off.
Isn't it great?
It's wonder. That's the only reason why I stayed on it, because I'm like, I don't want people to know that I'm ignoring their messages.
Yeah, dog. It's so easy to ignore people.
Bro, I
stay toxic.
You. Yes. Stay toxic.
Supposed to be a mental health episode.
Ignoring you all.
Yeah.
There we go. Yep. All of it. All of it. Ignore. All of it. I don't want to talk to any of you niggas, bro. None of them. I don't want to talk to no people. Oh, man. Oh, I caught something. This is completely sidetracked, probably from the conversation, but people are getting very upset about CM Punk's fashion statement on Dynamite yesterday.
So I didn't see Dynamite, but I saw the picture. I'll touch on the super brief.
Yeah, very brief.
Yeah. A woman's body is her own fucking business. And if CM Punk wants to come out on TV with a shirt supporting that, you got to be a fucking adult and grow up and accept it and stop being a fucking cunt and telling people what to do with their bodies.
I'm not even going to comment on it because I could seriously sit here for an entire podcast talking about it.
Yeah, I know. We
like, that's why I'm like, you know what? We'll transition and move, because I will seriously be here all night. But anywho, so to throw a question then back to you, has there been any new self-care things you've tried lately that I don't know about? Because, like I said, just the craziness of everything, or have things kind of just been sedentary?
So, like, I'm going to try not to give a long-winded answer, but I'm known for giving long-winded answers. like, obviously, like, you know, and some of the listeners know, like, I was going through a lot a few months ago. Like, and here's the rawness of it, man. I was going, and still kind of am, through this lonely thing. And it's not just because you moved and, you know, and that people closest to me aren't as accessible. I think I had a lot of oil and water friendships going on. I don't hate or dislike any of those people, but I think I was trying to fill holes.
Yeah.
No nasty joke intended, but I was trying to.
That's what she said.
Oh, fuck, you know, in a way. But but I think I was trying to fill empty spaces in my heart with. Yeah. And distract myself in a lot of unhealthy ways that are uncharacteristic of me. And before anybody gets worried, no, I wasn't doing drugs. But I was entertaining bullshit that I know better than. And
yeah,
and because of that, I had some falling outs and friendships. And I started to act out a little bit and just not do good shit, which led me to the social media hiatus, which led to the hiatus of the show.
I remember that time period,
which was also like a big question, in fact, whether this was ever going to come back.
Yeah.
But the big thing that I think I've taken out of the last few months, especially the last 2 months, is getting into a regimen. And, you know, shout out Danny, because me and Danny spoke about this on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to become like a regimented human being, but what I've learned, like, you know, this, like, I changed gyms. Here we go. Change of environment.
That is a giant one. Yes.
I switched my gym, and it's not super far, but it's a completely different gym. It's LA Fitness. It's a lot bigger. Different people go there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot more accessible to me in this place. I changed my bike path. I bike in different areas now when I jump on. I've started making playlists. Yo, sit down one day and just make a 30 song playlist for fun.
I have a couple of playlists on my phone. I have one that I actually have a playlist specifically for Florida.
Oh, nice.
So when I go to Florida, I have like specific songs that I listen to, and they're old soul songs. So nice. Don't think it's anything like we're going to. They're like serious old soul songs. And I also have another one too that it's called Take Me Back to My Island. Yeah. It's all Spanish music.
Oh, shit.
Because I'm Puerto Rican. Yeah, so yeah. I listen to a lot of Spanish music. So I have another playlist that's like Take Me Back to My Island.
Yeah, so like making playlists is something I started to find fun. Like I have a 2000s playlist where it's just
nice
straight 2000s hip hop and rock, and I have a 90s playlist which is a lot of grunge and like stuff like that. But I think the biggest change that I've been trying to implement is getting into a routine. Just wake up, have breakfast, go to work, go to the gym. And, come home, work on the show, and always leave in like a, an hour or two of like me time. Like I got back into video gaming. I do it every night? No, but I set apart nights where I'm like, all right, we're going to play NHL for an hour before you go to bed. And like Mondays, I like kind of refer to it as like Music Monday. So I come home from the gym, I shower, I eat dinner, and I dedicate the last 2 hours of the night during Raw. I either have my guitar with me while I'm watching Raw, or I'm sitting at the keyboard.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, and I'm not perfect all the time with it. Like, not at all. Like Music Monday this Monday was like half a Music Monday.
Thing is you've started the routine to implement it. And even if you don't do it every single day, at least the routine is there for you to still do and go back to.
Yeah, that. And I also, and I'm not trying to win any points by saying this, but I've just tried to make it a point to check in on somebody every day. Like whether that's a friend that I don't speak to too often, or whether that's my cousins or just, I try to make it a point that throughout my, even when I'm at work at my day job, to just shoot somebody a compliment. I'll give you an example. Yeah. Last night I went out to the bar to go watch the Ranger game, and there was like the Ranger fan store. Mm-hmm. And I got myself a t-shirt, and then they have like the No Quit in New York fan towels. And I bought it. And as I was on the way into work today, it was in my bag. And I was like, do I need this towel? And there's a guy who works at my job. Shout out, Mr. Noah. Mr. Noah, when I got into this new building, and I'm not scared to say it, I'll say it on the show, was one of the only people on a short list that fucking helped me. And Mr. Noah's a big Rangers fan. So I see Mr. Noah every morning, and we have the same lunch period in the cafeteria with the kids. So I went up to him in the morning. I was like, okay, Mr. Noah, like, yeah, they lost last night. And he was like, yeah, I know, it sucks. Talking about the game, and I wait right there. I'll be right back. And I wanted to give him the towel. So I went and I was like, yo, Mr. Noah. And he was like, Joe, like that. And yo, and here's the thing. I didn't get to tell you this yesterday. Yesterday I had a dog shit day. My PlayStation account got hacked. My credit card account got hacked. Yeah. Like
your credit card account.
Yeah, dude. I didn't lose crazy money, but like somebody spent $70 on PlayStation and tried to spend $100 on the credit card. Thankfully, I got everything back.
Holy shit.
But it took forever. There was bullshit at work during the day. And I had a bad day. I was thinking about somebody I missed. It was a shit day. Yeah. And then today, I was just like, all right, yesterday's gone. It's done.
Yep.
It's over. Like, and it was raining today, too. And, like, seasonal depression. Like, for those of you listening, I don't like gloomy weather. It makes me sad.
Yeah, you really don't do well with gloomy weather, literally at all. And do not like it.
It reminds me of things that make me sad, and it reminds me of, other shit. Like, it reminds me of, I'll fucking say it, I'm an open book on this. It reminds me of somebody that I care a lot for that I don't talk to as much because they love that kind of weather. And every time it rains,
it's like the song that you can't listen to anymore. But yeah, because the weather's a natural thing, you're dealing with it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't avoid the weather.
And how many times have I said this to you? And I swear, like the Rangers lost last night, right? But I had fun. Yeah. Every time I have a great night, I wake up the next day and it is fucking raining. Never fails.
But that might be the ironic part about it is because you don't like the gloominess and that's already about to approach, you ironically end up having a great day before it ends up getting gloomy and crappy outside.
Yeah. But, you know, I went to work today. I was like, yesterday's over, man. Yesterday's over. And yes, it's raining and it was raining this morning anyway. And I was like, yes, you're thinking about stuff. But you promised yourself to try to keep the consistency up in all these changes you're making. And one of them was being kinder to people. Not saying that I'm a bad dude. You know me, I'll give the shirt off my back to somebody, but sometimes I think about doing acts of kindness and then I won't do them because I like think about it too much. I'm like, oh, am I going to look weird or whatever the fuck? But I walked out with the towel and I gave it to him. And he's like, Joe, you didn't have to do that, man. He gave me a big hug. Like Mr. Noah was a super friendly guy. And that cheered me the fuck up.
Cause that's the thing. I honestly just love that whole story. The whole story. Cause it literally just shows the principle behind always, like you just said, having those acts of kindness and being able to bring yourself down to that level of humility to be able to showcase that to other people, whether it's a stranger or whether it's someone that's just an acquaintance, even just a family member. And I personally always strived myself on always feeling like that's a part of the key to happiness. Yeah. Because once you do acts of kindness, it unlocks just a flow of blessings for you, in so many different ways and in so many different areas of your life. And at times it's like what you just said. Sometimes people, if they see it as, I'll give you a perfect example, but hold on. it brightens up people's day and it makes them if they're in a crappy mood, you don't have to know that they're in a crappy mood to do something nice for them, to make them realize thank you. This was nice of you. And an example that I can even give for that, and this was actually not me doing this act of kindness, it was actually me getting kindness back, was I went to Walgreens about 2 weeks ago, and this was when my son got first sick. He had a nasal drip, congestion, a fever. Lorenzo was all fucked up, so I had to get a new dehumidifier. And I'm not gonna lie, I was strapped on money. I was. So I'm like, I don't know how the hell I'm going to do this right now. But because besides getting the humidifier, I needed the steam. I needed vapor rub. I needed Tylenol. He was sick and he didn't have anything. Get to Walgreens. And my mother sends me screenshots of what's products to get at the affordable prices. So I get to Walgreens. I get everything. I go up to the counter with the humidifier. The humidifier is ringing up $50. But when I tell you that by the time I got to Walgreens, I was on day 3 of no sleep. I was also sick for Mother's Day. I had a runny nose and congestion. My sinuses literally felt like they wanted to just pop out of my face.
Yeah.
My eyes were swollen, my head, it was just a disaster. So at that point, once it was day 3, I was already fucking over it. So I get to Walgreens and my eyes are swollen and everything. And she's the representative is oh, this rang up as 50. I said, I'm really sorry. I thought it was for this price. So she went to the back to check, came back and said, no, it's still 50. I'm like, I can't afford it. So you could just put that back and I'll take what I got. She ends up coming behind the counter with the humidifier. And she's like, how much did you say it was for? And I told her, she ended up changing the price for me. Yeah. And she dropped it was a $50 humidifier that she dropped for $15 for me. And she literally looked at me and was like, I don't need you to stress out about this. Your son is sick and you look like you're sick as well. Just please take care of yourself and take care of him.
But you see, isn't it cool? Like,
Like, I literally walked out of the store crying almost, because I'm just like, it was one of those relieving moments, because it, like, for me, it kind of just felt like I'm always trying to do acts of kindness, like any type of situation, anywhere I go, whether I'm in the supermarket or I'm just out in the streets. So it was one of those things where I was able to truly like see and understand, like, this was a blessing for my acts of kindness and me being able to give that back. And like, I literally have been thinking about this woman since that happened. And I've been still thinking about like, how can I kind of give back in an act of kindness to even her or just to somebody else in general that may need it because of the fact that I got that, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's, I think you and me have always appreciated stuff like that because of the fact that, you know, and we're not trying to give a sob story or be like, oh, what was us? But unfortunately, dude, like, we've come
into fuck what anyone thinks. This ain't no sad story, sob shit. This is like, us. This is my life.
Facts. But like, unfortunately, you and me, and like, we always say this, like, we've made our mistakes too. We've hurt people, whatever. Like, we're human beings. But unfortunately, dude, we've come across a lot of shitty people. Like, and dude, like, you know, we're always honest on here. Something I still struggle with is wondering, like, yo, like, is anybody like just trying to be good out here? Like, and when I hear,
what do you mean?
Oh, like sometimes, bro, like, and this ties into social media too, like. I just see the way people are, and like, you know, people can be really materialistic and really shallow. And
yeah,
you know, once again, man, you and me aren't perfect. Like, we've made our mistakes and have probably hurt people's feelings and stuff. But sometimes I lose faith in like that humanity of doing something good for somebody, or, you know, like. Because it's so rare that you see or experience stuff like that anymore. And when, like, that story made me smile, because it's like, yo, that person didn't have to do that. That person.
No, she didn't.
Legit, like, a good human being who wanted to help somebody.
But that's the thing, too. It's more of, you know, our faith is sometimes the only thing we got.
Yeah.
And there are times, too, where, like, I sometimes lose my way and I'm like, is this even worth it? Is this, you know, bullshit? Or, but that's the thing. Like, that's just how I live my life. And that's just how I am as a person. Like, it just comes, I've always kind of been like that. And I, even now as a parent, like, I try to teach that to my son too, of just always giving back and never expecting anything in return. Like, if it happens and it comes, then it happens and it comes. And that's, you know, that's where the blessing truly comes in, when you need the miracle in the least amount of like expected time. And I needed a fucking miracle in that moment. And that woman gave me a miracle, and I didn't ask for it either. Cause I didn't, it's not like I didn't argue. Yeah, I didn't say, oh, it's a different price. Like, oh, you know, this, like, no, it was like, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. But you know, she looked out and she gave me that blessing that I needed in that moment. And I think that's where, when we start to lose our faith, we have to kind of like tap back in to re-find it.
Yeah.
And it could be in just many different forms and in many different ways, but it's those moments where you really just have to re-tap back in and try to just find your faith in humanity as much as you don't want to. And especially with everything that's gone on in society and in the world right now. And I'm just saying like everything as a whole, because as we talked about when we first got on here, was COVID changed everything.
Yeah.
So it's like people are just, they're more angry, they're more upset, they're more frustrated, they're more tired, they're burnt out. Like, people don't want to hear anything. Like, they just want to, you know, go about and just do what they need to. But that's the thing too, even the pandemic sometimes, like, even I personally think about it and I'm like, man, like, sometimes, like, I don't think I sit back sometimes. And I could say this honestly, like, I sometimes don't feel like I sit and really just take in the fact of how grateful I should be a little bit more. But that also, I think, comes into place with just even my current mental, because like, I'm not afraid to share, like, I've been dealing with postpartum depression for a little while. So there are times where like, it gets so clouded for me that I can't see why or where I should be grateful.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the moment I'm so flustered that I'm just like, fuck that shit. But yeah, after a while, that's where that reflection comes into place, like moving into reflection, like actually circling back a little bit, just a little bit of a rewind when you mentioned if I had started any new self-care stuff. Over the last couple of years, like going into COVID, the biggest thing for me for self-care that I've had to implement into my routine is actually reflection. Being able to sit and reflect back on the day, being able to reflect back on things that maybe I've done or I said or conversations that I've had or just situations that I think like, man, did I not really approach this the way that I should have, or should I have done better in terms of what I'm doing? And also taking my vitamins.
Yo, dog, isn't it crazy how little stuff like that helps?
I'm totally convinced because, like, I'm not trying to get, like, political up in here or nothing, but, like, I'm not a big med head.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to mental health stuff, yes. To a level, I do agree people do need medication. Depending on what you have, because everyone's different and everybody has their own needs to what they need in order to make themselves feel better. But I'm just also the type of person of like, well, I'd like to try things a little bit more holistically before I get and jump into meds. So when I say holistically, it's like exercising, getting a better diet, or having better supplements in you. And something that's just always, that's worked for me is taking vitamins, because I've noticed since I actually started two recent vitamins, like my mood and my stress has dramatically changed. Dramatically. And that's what it is. Like sometimes your vitamins levels or your mineral levels, like in your body, like they might just be a little low to where you might just need a freaking vitamin, and you might not even need to be on a medication. And it's even like that with depression. Like if your vitamin D is low, like that could mess with you in different ways. Taking just your vitamin D pill every day can actually avoid you from potentially having to get on medications. So it's like, you don't need that. You just need something a little bit more holistically, and then to work on, you know, like coping skills and ways that you're able to comfortably navigate through your day without having to add that extra thing into your body.
It's funny because, you know, going along with putting into the body and going back to the question you asked me, mm-hmm. is another thing I started not doing, or at least doing way less of, was drinking. Like I only do it on occasion now. I think for me, you know, and we've had this conversation on the phone before, but I've never said it on the show, I think I was forcing myself for years, and like this is like real, like this is real as it gets. I don't think I ever really liked going out drinking. I think because we were still in our 20s, it was the only thing to do in New York.
You know, what's so funny about you mentioning this is I feel like that in this very exact moment about smoking.
There
is nothing to do up where I live. So I literally feel like the only thing I could do is just be a stoner head.
But I'd take that over drinking though.
Yes, because the drinking can cause a little bit more problems than like with the smoking, but like
it's a depressant.
Yes, it's a suppressor. I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah. Wait, is it?
But like it makes it worse.
No, it does. It makes everything worse. Like I could even tell you, like since I've had Lorenzo, I haven't even touched liquor.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood for it. Like, and you know what it is too? It's more of like, I can't get drunk and plastered because I got to wake up with my kid in the morning. I can't have a hangover and lay in my bed till 12.
Yeah, dude. I think the whole time, I like my beers. Like I like the taste of trying different beer, but when I really sat back and reflected the past few months, I was like, all right, like what is something in all these situations, or at least the majority of these situations, I have in common?
Yeah.
Going out, drinking, and meeting most of these people, or being around these events or circumstances. And then I really sat down and thought about it. And I was like, did I ever even like it? Or was I doing it because that's what everybody else was doing? And there was nothing else to really do. The funnest memories I have of drinking are not at bars. Maybe a few times at the Wolf, because that was our spot. And it was easy to walk back to the house and fall asleep. But my funnest memories are drinking, like drinking with you at a game or at a concert, tailgating for concerts.
Yeah, I was just about to say tailgating is like my favorite like drinking activity, like to do. Yeah. Like I honestly would rather tailgate than go to a bar. Like I love being in the bar too, but like tailgating is just different. Like you're with your peoples, like you're listening to the music, like from the venue that's not like too far from the venue. You're tailgating, you're playing games, like you're seeing all these other people around you. They're barbecuing. They have they're like, barbecuing, or they have like those little bag toss things and playing games. They're just driving everywhere. Like it's just different, the atmosphere. I love tailgating.
Yeah. I think I really like doing it on occasion has made such a big difference, even in my physical, right? Like I'm trying to find the right wording for it, but I don't need it. Like like tomorrow we're going to go see Slipknot. We're going to drink.
Yeah.
I have a birthday party the next night. I'm going to drink. I probably won't touch anything for another 2 to 3 weeks unless it's an event. And that's the only, like I've had the same 6 beers in my fridge, IPAs, for weeks now. But I think I was doing it not because I deal with depression, but because it became one of the only forms of socialization. And then I've always struggled with fitting in.
Yeah.
And wondering like, man, why do I not feel like I'm a part of like the town and this neighborhood? Or why do I not feel like I fit in with these people at the bars and in my area where I live in Throgsnick? And I think when I put it on hold for these past few months, and I left it to when we tailgated at Corn, when we went to the Ranger game for tomorrow, when I go see my cousins, which is rare, then I have fun and I'm not sad at the end of the night, opposed to any time we drank in the neighborhood as fun as we had, I'd wind up sad at the end of the fucking night.
Because it's the environment, it's the people, it's the scenery, like it's... You'd be like you said before, like how we started this conversation, like the environment plays such a drastic difference. Like it can literally change everything and anything, like with all within a second. And then when you're adding alcohol into that, like your mindset is already different at that point.
Yeah.
Like you're not really coherent. You're not really there. Like you're kind of just you're vibing out, or either just your emotions are getting like flustered and fluctuated so quickly to the point where you then become so activated, not based off of the alcohol, but you can't simmer yourself down. It's challenging. Like you can't simmer yourself down. So then you try to go outside to take a walk, and then you end up just not enjoying yourself at a certain point of the night. So that's why environment is so fucking important.
And I used to be, and this is me putting my own foot in my mouth, I used to be somebody that used to make fun of whenever I would hear people go sensory overload. I'd be like, shut the fuck up, you dumb bitch. Like, I'd be like, what do you mean sensory? Like, no, you're uncomfortable. It's not sensory. Nobody's tapping you 100 times. No, but now that I'm older and I've experienced certain things and I've taken these therapy sessions and I've talked about like all these things that trigger me, emotional sensory overload, dog.
That's like, your stimuli is too activated.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny about us talking about this, and I'm gonna get very vulnerable on this podcast right now, but I actually discovered the last couple of months that I think we've touched upon this, I think I definitely did, but I have auditory processing delay.
Yeah, we spoke about it. You can talk about it here if you want. Yeah.
So for me, like being in those environments, like, and I've never admitted this, I've never talked about it, but like I sometimes would be miserable because so auditory processing, like I basically have trouble understanding and differentiating tone. and also noise. So for example, if I'm at a concert and the music is plastered and everyone's like dancing and singing and doing whatever, if someone's next to me trying to talk to me, I'm not hearing a word you're saying.
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Like, I can't. And it's funny because these last like 2 weeks, it's gotten like so much worse because I feel like people are like they would ask me something. Like, for example, my mom would say like, oh, did you pick up the potatoes for dinner? But then like my sister Mel, like immediately would come right out and say like, oh yeah, the carrots are in the fridge. Did you get the like sour cream for that? And then like a third person would come and go, yeah, did you also take the trash out? And it's like, it's too much for me to like, I can't do it. It's like, you guys got to slow down. Yeah, like, this is too much.
Bang, bang, bang. And then it's too much for you to react, for your brain to react to.
Yes. So yeah. Then like, I kind of stand there and I'm just like, like, I'm just like, because it's just, it's too much. Like, and it's that already alone. Like, I think about that in the past too. Like, and I remember we used to go to the bars, like, I barely felt like I used to socialize or interact. Like, and I did to a degree, and 90% of the time, like when people were talking directly in my ear, like, yeah, I could hear what you're saying, but sometimes it was just hard and it was freaking miserable. Cause like, I didn't understand what it was back then. I didn't get it. And even another thing too about it is sometimes when people talk like, or they'll say certain words, like my brain just doesn't catch up to it.
Yeah.
So you could be saying like tomato and I'm over here thinking you said like something completely different from what you said. Like, it's just challenging. Like, it's an overall challenge, but yeah, it goes literally back to what you said with like you having the emotional sensory. Sorry, I'm still getting over being sick.
That's okay.
Excuse me. But yeah, it goes back to even your feelings about having like emotional sensory overload. Like, yeah, I get the same way with my auditory. Like, it sucks. Like, if I'm just with like me and you, for example, and it's just like the two of us, like I'm a lot better with that. Or if it's like me, you and Gaston, for example, I'm a lot better with that because there's just two of us or there's three of us. So it's easier for me to manage. But more than that, dude, I'm getting overwhelmed. I get anxious because I'm like, I can't hear anything. I can't understand anything. Like, I'm still trying to understand this part of myself. So how am I supposed to explain this to other people? And then it's one of those things too, where it's like, I feel like no one's going to want to care to have to hear it, or they're going to look at me like, oh, so we need to talk like this. And it's like, no, you don't need to scream in my face.
Yeah.
Like, cause that's the other part of it too, is like, I don't need people then treating me differently in terms of like screaming at me, or their tone starts to then like change and fluctuate because I can't hear. So then it makes me think like, are they annoyed, or like, is something wrong? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just too much fucking pressure. So I just say to myself about it, I'm just like, I'll just tell my close people like you or like Elizabeth, like, what's going on. But yeah, it's the same shit with you, with the emotional sensory stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, touching on one of the things you said of being treated differently, you know, I think a big thing that I get into my mental health and my depression is I'm so honest about it, because at this point, yo, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. you know, can't do anything about it. It's a part of who you are.
Yeah.
It's,
like,
it's just, it is what it is.
And I think a thing I'm dealing with is like, yeah, like, because I'm open that I have anxiety and clinical depression, and like, I don't want, especially like, I don't need you to baby me. Yeah, like, you don't need to treat me like I'm a little bitch. Like, I'm a bitch, but I'll deal with my bitch stuff, you know, I'll deal with it. But seriously, like, I think, especially for me as a guy, and I'm not trying to gender label anything either, but, you know, like, just because people in general battle depression and anxiety doesn't mean they need to be babied.
I feel like they really don't.
Do this fake sympathy shit, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, and it's, you know what I'm talking, you can sniff when it's the, like, people don't know how to react, or they're,
yeah,
or they're babying you because they think you're gonna cry at everything. And it's like, no, man, like, I'm just being honest that, yo, I got some stuff. Like, and that doesn't mean you need to treat me like I'm a little kid. Do you think people do that? Like, because I feel like people do that a little too much. And if the answer is yes, what do you think is a way that people can better navigate that situation with whether it's their family or their friends?
So when it comes to family and friends, it's more of just having a transparency with those individuals and really just honestly communicating your own boundaries and what you're able to and to not handle.
Yeah.
Because that's something, it's funny because I go through that now with like the fact that I had a baby, for example. Like a lot of people started to feel like they didn't want to burden me. They didn't want to bother me. They didn't want to come to me with certain things. They didn't want to talk to me.
I was one
of them. And it was just, yeah. So, and then I remember this one time, like even Elizabeth, like I felt really bad about it, but I got very snippy with her because it got to a point where I was just like, stop assuming how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, because it was one of those things where it was like, I also had another friend who felt like they couldn't come to me with their problems or their issues because they felt like their issues were less than what I was going through. And it's just like, well, first of all, don't diminish your problems and what you have going on because you think it's less than, like, it's not less than anything. You're going through something and you're dealing with something. And if you need to talk about it, and if you feel that I provide a safe space to have those conversations, like, don't be hesitant to. But it's like what I just said before, like, don't assume what I can and cannot handle either. Just because I'm calling you and I'm complaining about like how long of a day that I had, or excuse me, or like maybe like frustrations that I had throughout the day, it doesn't mean that I still won't be able to give you the space and give you the time to be able to talk about things that are on your mental too. Yeah. Because this really, because the relationship works two ways at the end of the day, like, especially with your support system. Like, if your support system is your support system and they're reciprocated as much as you're reciprocating back, like, that's something that is really important to communicate, is just those boundaries and being able to tell them, like, don't assume what I can and cannot handle. If I'm able to give you the space and talk with you about it, like, I can communicate that and tell you, like, this is not the best time, or this is the best, this is the greatest time and we can talk.
Yeah.
Or even like with family, it's also a little bit hard too, because they see you at your lowest and they see you at your most vulnerable. So at a certain point too, like, they think they know what you can and cannot handle. And it's like, that's where sometimes with the family and the friends, it gets a little bit messy, because it's like, you want to have that level of authenticity and vulnerability with them to express yourself and to share these things. But then it's a double-edged sword, because once you do, it's like, well, if I want to be there for you or give that same respect and support back to you, but you're feeling like you can't do that because of my own stuff, then it's like, that's where, like I said before, that boundary comes into place to having to talk about that.
Yeah. I think the low thing too, like, of I still struggle with, you know, and I'm trying to learn how to get better at it, but having people see me at my lowest. You're one of the few on a short list. Like, I know I could cry in front of you. Like, like, you know, and I won't have to feel weird about it. Like, in the moment, like, you know me, I'm very apologetic in the moment, even though I don't need to apologize.
I'm the same. Yeah, but you know, I'm the same way. Like, once I show emotion, like, I actually get, it's funny because like when I show emotion, like crying, for example, like I'm actually embarrassed of myself.
Me too.
Because it's like, I'm a very strong individual. I am always here to just hold people up and to be the shoulder that they're leaning on. But now I feel super weak right now because I am breaking down crying. It's like, that's the most shittiest feeling to have, because it's like, you feel like you're not even like, you're not even valid enough to have an emotion to cry,
dude,
because you have to be that person. Like,
isn't it crazy how like the world sometimes makes us out to feel like the two most intense emotions, sadness and anger, that we're not allowed to feel them, that we have to sit here and have this conversation of why do we feel weak in these moments where we're entitled to feel these feelings? It sucks. I'm not saying everybody's like that everybody makes people feel like that. They're, you know, great people out there that are very understanding, but it really sucks when you bear the soul out in front of certain people and you're getting something back, but later down the line you figure out, like, it's like, oh, like, yo, you're slowly starting to like fade away because I showed you emotion.
Yeah, like the emotions get a little too strong or too intense for someone to be able to handle. So then they start to back off. And it's like, well, this is why I am the way that I am. And I can't, you know, fully express or be my full self to every person that I meet, because it's like, it goes back to that fear of like, well, am I going to show my sleeve right now and show my cards? And then it's just, once the game's over, like, they're gone. Like, it's... that's where it becomes tricky, because it's like we say all, well, what you say all the time, like, people are just going to be people. Yeah. They're going to do what they feel and they're going to do what they want anyways. But that's why, and it circles back to our conversation, like, this is why self-care is so important. Because yeah, people are going to burn you and they're going to be crappy and they're not going to do things that you agree with and they're not going to have the same common sense that you may have. But that doesn't mean for you to have to deteriorate and diminish yourself any yeah. further because of somebody else. Like, don't let somebody else's bullshit interfere into what you need to do to take care of yourself. And if taking care of yourself involves having to talk to somebody and expressing like your emotions and how you're feeling and what's going on, like, you need to do that to self-care. Don't bottle it up because you fear that you're not going to be able to get reciprocation back. And even sometimes too, like, when you're listening to a friend, sometimes silence is what they need too.
I always say, this has become one of my new lines with people, if you need me to just shut the fuck up and listen, tell me, like, yo, Joe, I need to bare my soul, but shut the fuck up, and I'll be like, I got you. Because that's true.
Because sometimes the silence is what somebody just needs. Like, they just need to vent it out and they just need like that moment of silence to just be able to like unleash, like, and that's just what it is. That's sometimes other people's, because like I said before, like, people have needs to what they need to make themselves feel better and comfortable. And that might just also be one of those things too.
Yeah. I can't stress, man, how I've learned how important self-care is over the past few months, like treating yeah. yourself. It does fucking wonders. It depends how you're treating yourself. Like, yeah, like don't eat the whole box of cookies. Like, you know, like, don't do that, but like, have two of them shits.
Or if you eat the whole box, then just don't eat another box until the next month.
Yeah, like
balance.
Yeah, balance, bitch. Yeah, balance.
Yeah,
I have a hard time with that with sweets, dog. That's my biggest, like, I love the self-care of a food treat in the form of dessert. But sometimes I do it too much because I can't go to bed without a glass of milk and some chocolate.
That's true. Yeah. Like, he really can't.
I can't.
Like, I'd be getting text messages of a glass of milk with an Oreo or a, like a, or like a Oreo brownie or like some chocolate chip ice cream thing.
I've been like on the gym kick, right? So I've been really trying at night.
Yeah.
And the other night I had a protein cookie with a glass of milk. Dog shit. Dog shit. Let me tell you right now, dog shit.
They are so disgusting.
It does not taste the same.
There was this one brand. I forgot the. It's like,
I got high when I did it too. It didn't help.
Ew. Yeah. That was a bit worse. Yeah. There was this one cookie brand, I think it's called Lenny's. It's like a protein brand, but I remember one, I kind of did the same thing you did. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just try this and see how this works out, because maybe I need to just be fit and wonderful. And I tried it and I spit it. It tastes like chalk. It was disgusting. And then even today I went to the supermarket and they now offer this option of like probiotics, like in the fridge, but like, because some probiotics are in the fridge, but they have like these drinks or like these yogurts now. So I was like, I want to try one of these drinks, like $1.50. It was like a guava blossom flavored drink.
No bueno.
When I tell you it tasted like Hall's cough medicine, like the drops, Hall's, it was disgusting. I never in my life want to drink something like that ever again. And then it's funny because then I'm like, and this is what I get for trying to be fit. Do you see this shit? It's disgusting.
It reminds me, I hate to keep quoting him because I don't want him to think I'm kissing his ass. I probably am. But like on the Danny episode, and Danny has said this on a plenty of his podcast, he says, you know, like they got this all fucked up. Like, why is it that like cake and chicken wings and pizza and cookies, like they taste so good, but it's so bad for you. But then like,
oh, yes.
But then like broccoli and like steamed vegetables and all this stuff is bland, but it's good for you, but it's expensive. Like they got it all fucked up.
It's funny because like, I used to think that years ago with the whole like, you know, they have this like whole movement, life, but right? They want, yeah, like they want you to be healthy and fit and wonderful, but then everything is expensive. And I'm going to tell you guys a small, quick little hack real quick. Don't let them fucking fool you either. Look at your prices in the supermarket, because since inflation has gone up, the regular priced items are practically the same price as organic. So just take a quick look. Like if you have the time and you're like, oh, this is a nice piece of broccoli, but it's $3. And then you're like, oh, the organic broccoli is $3.50. Just throw the extra 50 cents in and get that organic in, because that's the other thing too that I've been noticing, like with the inflation and everything with that. But anyways, but that's beside the point.
But it's crazy how like when you think of little stuff like that in terms of like mental health or self-care, how it's like, yo, like why is the world, like why did the world get it all fucked up? Like why is it like that? And even in terms of like, yo, like why, like materialistic things, like yo, like why does somebody have to have the nice car and like all this shit, or why does the girl need a supermodel body, like why, like they bro, got
like, the, oh god,
they got it all screwed up, like the whole, like, you know. And it's scary, like it's something I've always struggled with. Once again, you travel back to social media, that's in our faces all the time.
Yeah,
but I gotta say, before I end off on the three questions, like, and you could tell me your opinion on this, I do think that mental health is finally getting its day in the sun a little bit more.
Yeah, they're really trying to.
I think there's a lot of work to be done. Like, I'm no professional or anything, but I'm just being open. But
yeah, they're really trying to make an effort to destigmatize mental health. And they're really pushing the initiative with that. Like employers are starting to now really make an awareness about it. And that's the other thing too, though. And it's interesting because I had this conversation in class the other day, and, you know, we were also talking about Mental Health Awareness Month, but it's one of those things that it's, to me, like, I hope it doesn't get to a point where they try to popularize it so much that people then aren't taking it seriously enough. Cause like my teacher passed a comment saying like, yeah, like I want you, everyone here, to be able to go out there and take care of themselves, like for the eve, because we had like a heavy conversation in class. He was like, I want you to take care of yourselves this evening. I personally don't like using the word self-care because I think it's gotten too like popularized, which in certain ways it has, because I felt like with COVID, like it blew up during COVID, because it was all like, you can self-care at home, you can self-care at the park, you can self-care in your bathroom. And it's like, yes, we get it. But that's where, to me, it's just like, I hope that there's not, like it doesn't become popularized, like the whole thing's all together, because no, this is serious stuff. Like
I'll say the
national suicide rate still through the roof, and just even the drug and opioid epidemic still through the roof. Like everything is still to the face front of a lot of these issues. So it's just more of hopefully still just keeping that awareness going.
I'll say the thing that I think you might've been a little scared to say. You don't want it to become a trend where people start to use it.
That's what I mean. Like popularize. Right, it's like, no, like don't trends hashtag mental health. It's like, no, seriously, take care of yourself and make sure that you're also looking out for your other people too.
Because
other people need it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, dude, and like it literally like makes my skin crawl. Mm-hmm. They're and I see it because I'm on social media because I'm trying to do the influencer thing, I guess you can say. But, you know, people unfortunately are jumping on, and I know some of these people, like I've met them in my life.
Yeah.
They don't got depression. like they don't. Like, and, you know, and it sounds fucked up, and I know some people are gonna listen and be like, Joe, how do you know that?
You're insensitive. Yeah. Do you read, like, their HIPAA file?
And it's like, no, dude, I know that, like, I've known that person, or I know this person, and they're a piece of shit. Like, you know, like, so I hope, I have that hope too, that this doesn't wind up turning into like a fucking TikTok trend, for a better term. And yeah, like, use social media to be positive, guys. Like, I bear my soul on here lately in the hopes that I help one person, but I don't want it to become a thing that people cling on to for views.
Yeah.
Or to cling on to like, so people could be like, look how cool that person is. Like, dude, I'm doing this knowing that a few people are listening or are going to listen to bits or get shown parts of this and be like, Joe's a bit. I don't give a fuck though. Like,
Let me take care of myself while we finish this conversation.
Oh, yeah. But wind down, I had three questions that I think I accidentally deleted, but I think I remember them off the top of my head. One of them was, when you feel like you're in crisis, what is a tactic or a strategy you use to try to help lower the anxiety and get out of that depressive state?
Like, we're being honest, for real. Like, I seriously smoke, but no, like, on a serious note, like, if I seriously don't have access to this, like, I honestly, hands to God, really just try to get myself outside and really just feel the air. Like, yeah. I have to feel the air and just kind of like stand there and just take like a deep breath for a second. And sometimes, very rarely, taking my shoes off, socks included, and grounding myself to the ground, that also helps. Because it kind of, like, from what I've learned, like, the symbolism behind that is when you're grounding yourself, you're kind of like realigning yourself with the earth and with nature. And this is like so hippie of me, but it really helps. Like, I just kind of be standing there and like, I just have to take like a couple of deep breaths in and just kind of be able to relax. Yeah, that's for me, what I'm able to use to kind of be able to kind of like readjust myself backwards. But again, like I said before, it goes with people being able to be more flexible and being able to do things that are going to help take care of themselves. Because another aspect of it too is sometimes also with, if you're kind of in crisis, like, sometimes even doing something you've never done before helps. Like, you'd be surprised. Like, you might just try something on a freaking whim and it's just like, holy crap, that worked.
Yeah.
Whether it's doing something small, like I just said before, going outside or trying maybe to drink like an X amount of water, for example. Like, those are just little small things that can make such a big difference.
I was in crisis a few weeks ago and I went to Central Park and I walked around the whole, like, practically the whole park. And let me tell you how better I felt.
Yeah, because your endorphins are kicking. You're having like the air, like, kind of like, not cleansing you out, but like the air is just, it's hitting your rib cage, it's hitting your lungs, like you're breathing it in, like, and the environment's also different too. That's the other thing too, like, in crisis, I have to get out of the environment.
Yeah.
Like, environment, like, again, we've talked about this earlier, like, environment plays a big role in that too. So if you're in the middle of crisis or having any type of experience where you're in a panic, like, you just have to excuse yourself from the environment to be able to calm yourself back down. Because that's the other thing too. Some people, they don't have the accessibility to have another person do crisis intervention or to be able to give a support. So there are times where you have to learn how to calm yourself down. And that's, you know, a piece of that.
Facts. I couldn't have said that better myself. My second question, I think you're going to like this one. It's three questions in one question. Comfort food, comfort TV show, Comfort Music.
Yes. Those were good ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said comfort food, comfort TV show, and comfort music. So comfort TV show, 1000% is The Office. I could binge watch The Office for hours. It's The Office, SVU, and wrestling.
Nice.
Between those three. My comfort food, cheeseburger.
Yeah, nothing better than a cheeseburger.
I immediately run to a cheeseburger. Man, it could be any kind of cheeseburger too. Sometimes if I'm really depressed, like I'm really in my low, I just go to McDonald's. And I get a cheeseburger and a fry and I'm good. And then my music. I've never admitted this to anybody.
Go for it.
I actually really like Judy Garland.
Word.
She, for some that may not know, she actually was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. So Judy, she did a lot of different like Broadway music and I just loved her voice. Her and Julia Andrews, like I love their voices. They have a very like operatic like tone, but then they also know how to just sound like so soothing at the same time. So sometimes like I'd be throwing on just like The Wizard of Oz like soundtrack and it just kind of like mellows me out. That or either I play what's this thing called? I play oh my goodness, it's like right there. like a yoga music soundboard.
Oh, okay.
Or like a nature soundboard. So like the beach like waves or like birds chirping, or because I like being in nature.
Nice.
I love it. So for me, I also listen to that too, and that really zens me out.
I think for me it's 2000s pop rock. Like Avril Lavigne and shit like that.
Blink-182?
Like any those early 2000s, like Avril Lavigne, Blink, even like some of the 2000s early rap. Like not a lot of people know this about me. Giant 50 Cent fan.
Yes.
Like I love 50 Cent. Like I could listen to 50 all day.
I still got to take it to a 50 Cent concert.
Word. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. I saw him at Citibank.
City Field. Yeah, you saw him at City
Fields a few years.
He was making a deposit for $5 million.
Oh man. That was a great show. But anywho.
Yeah, for me, I think it's just that 2000s era of music, man, puts me like even Kelly Clarkson got some bangers.
I think I only like one. Oh, Daughtry.
Yeah.
He's the man. Oh, do you listen to Nickelback?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nickelback. I love them. I love them.
Fuck the haters, man.
Yeah, I remember one time when I was a kid, my friend's dad thought he was funny by pulling out a nickel. He's like, do you guys want to listen to Nickelback?
Yeah, what a fuck.
I was like, what a corny dad joke.
Yeah. And,
is your comfort food and your comfort movie?
My comfort food. Of course, it's a dessert. I'll give you a dessert.
It has to be milk and cookies.
So for the dessert, it has to be a warm, soft chocolate chip cookie. But if we're going into food, I think my comfort food of choice, is a plate of wings.
That I can 1000% see.
Yeah.
1000%. Okay. That makes sense.
Comfort TV. I think I have three just like you. It'd be wrestling for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I go to bed at night, if I can't decide what to watch, I'll throw on like 90s Hulk Hogan fucking pay-per-view. Like I don't give a fuck. Like 80s Ric Flair. It doesn't matter. So wrestling, the Batman animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And anything like hockey related in terms of TV, like I have hockey on in the background right now.
Yeah, I could totally see that too. The hockey, absolutely. There was not that, like literally every time I'd be coming into the basement, I'm seeing something with hockey on the TV. So that's true.
I like having it on the background, unless it's playoff Rangers hockey, then I get anxiety, which is what I currently have. but you said comfort movie, which is another good question. You're gonna love this one because it's probably yours too. Clerks.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, my favorite like comfort movie is definitely a Jay and Silent Bob or a Clerks type of themed movie, like one of those two. Like, I could just put one of those on and I'm chilling.
Those and Happy Gilmore, like, just
Happy Gilmore. Oh, that's Jorgen a funny one.
Never gets old, dude. I could rewatch it 1,000 times. It's still funny to me.
Love that movie. Oh man.
My last question is, currently, what is your biggest motivation?
Get money, fuck this shit.
Yeah. <I
can't. laughs> Literally. No. My biggest motivation right now, honestly, my biggest motivation, like hands of God, is just being a really great mom to my son. Like, and what I mean by that, I mean more of like just being the best version of myself and being the best person of myself to show him and to teach him. Because the way that I see it too is like, he's also a part of our next generation. Like, this is so parent of me to get into this shit.
It's true, though. But
it's true. Like, if you think about it, like, and I'm not gonna lie, like, there's something wrong with this generation right now.
No, yeah, it's shot.
Like, the ones that are like my sister's age, like the 20-year-olds, the 19-year-olds, like the 21, like, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but it just kind of makes me reflect and think, like, I don't want my kid to be a fuckhead. Yeah. But like, he's gonna turn out that way if I don't do what I need to kind of show him the appropriateness of how to live and how to be, you know, fully his authentic self, but being respectful and having manners and being the best version of himself too. So that's definitely my motivation right now, just being the best version of myself for my son, and also just finishing up school.
Nice.
Because I have big plans for when I'm done with school. Like, I'm nowhere near stopping. Like, this is just the beginning.
Dude, fucking rock solid, man. I wish there was a planned out way to end this, but you and me always kind of go off the top of the dome. But I just think it's cool, man, that you know, we've been friends such a long time, and we've seen each other at the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. And I think currently, you know, you and me both have things we're struggling with a lot, but I also think we are both at a point in our lives that, as much as we're struggling, I think we're striving, though. I think that you and me both are as down in a rut that we might be, we're not we're not completely in the hole. Like, there's a lot of things that I think you and me could be proud of currently, and a lot of things that people don't even know that's going to happen yet, in terms like for you and your personal life with your achievements, and then me, like, with shit that I haven't announced yet, and even little things that you don't even know yet that I'm going to do, because I told you, you know, I'm obsessed with that quote now. The biggest way to make God laugh is to announce your plans out loud. So, you know.
Yeah. But I've always told you that keeping your plans to your chest is always the best advice.
Yeah. Always. But I think you and me have a lot to be proud of, bro. We've been through a lot the past few years.
We
but
do.
I think also, you know, hopefully somebody listens to this and they, you know, even though we didn't divulge everything we've went through, to know that, you know, me and Tina both deal with depression and anxiety. And, you know, if, you know, I don't know how comfortable you, I feel like you're comfortable with me saying this. You know, we've both dealt with suicidal thoughts and dealt with suicidal tendencies. And, you know, it's hard. And it's something you never, I don't think you can completely ever heal from, but I think it's a scar that sometimes makes you stronger. And I think
it does.
Having the support system of not only each other, but we have good friends, and which is basically the asylum itself, the cast of characters you see, and you know, that hold us together when we're down. And whether you live in Monroe, New York, or the Bronx, that, like, you know, these people care about and love you. And whether I talk to somebody every day or not, I know they got my back and they love me. And
right,
you know, if you're listening, like, and you know, you're going through something, just know, one, don't be afraid to get help. Two, lean on that support system, guys. Because I know for me, as scared as I am to reach out, sometimes I always feel better after I do it.
Yeah, you definitely need to use that support. And that's the thing, like, don't be afraid to reach out to your support system, because that's the reason why they're there.
Yeah.
For when you have those low moments, or you have those moments of uncertainty and you feel like you're unable to kind of control certain things. But that's the other thing too. Like, and sometimes when people are having those moments, like, it could also just be a matter of feeling like they're out of control and they don't have control of everything that's going on around them. But if you, at the end of the day, you do have control.
Yeah.
You have control over those emotions. You have control over that anxiety. It's about just having the awareness to know when you're getting triggered and being able to learn how to calm yourself down in ways that are not only healthy for you and positive, but also includes your support system too. Because there were also times too where, like, for example, like, I remember this was recent, like even a few years, like a year ago, I think there was something that was going on with you that you then had disclosed to me that I thought was serious enough of like, you need to tell your whole support system.
Yeah.
Because now this is something of like, everybody needs to know, because it's in the event of, again, you needing that safety net or needing that safety guard, then your support system knows what's going on. Yeah, and they're able to kind of help you navigate through that too.
Yeah. I feel comfortable saying it. I'm open. You know, I was going through a point where, you know, my suicidal thoughts were a little bit higher than, you know, they are normally. And I told Tina, and Tina stressed, like, you have to tell these certain people that are close to you, because God forbid you can't get out of your own head one day. Like, you're going to need somebody there. And I had a very long conversation with Drew. I know he feels comfortable with me saying it. I had a very long conversation with a few of my friends, but mainly you, Drew, and Gaston. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those conversations, and Joelle, I had a very long talk with Joelle. But, you know, it's good. You got to let it out there, guys, like, because the worst thing you can do is stay silent with it, because silence kills, man. It really does. Like, I know people like to say silence speaks volumes, but it can also kill. It could kill a relationship. It can kill motivation. It could kill productivity. And it could, you know, unfortunately wind up killing yourself if you're too quiet for too long.
Yeah, because that is the buildup. Things just start to build up to the point where you keep neglecting yourself so much that you then start making impulsive decisions, or you then start to have alternative thinking because of the buildup, because you're not expressing yourself or being able to address a lot of those concerns and issues too. But even for me, like, I have a very tight support system, very tight. And you also have a very tight support system too. So it's really just, like, it's like we stressed before, using your support system and also just finding that system.
Yeah.
But don't make yourself feel obligated to have to tell people certain things, because they're maybe your closest friend, for example, but they're not great with maybe giving you sound advice, or maybe hearing what you have to say, or being able to just kind of be receptive to sit there and do active listening. And that's just it. Because that's the other thing too. Like, you may have really close friends that you may actually not feel 100% comfortable expressing certain things to, because of the fear of judgment or the fear of certain anxieties or how the person's going to react. Because that's the other thing too. If your support system is reacting in a different type of way too, that's negative and not helping your mental health either, but within reason. And what I mean by that is, don't go turn around and become a drug addict and expect that no one's gonna call you out on your shit. Like, that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But you guys will know the difference. Like, everyone navigates through their own stuff, so they know what I'm talking about when I say that.
And I think, like, oversharing too, with depending the person, like, I can overshare with you and the asylum guys, but, you know, I think I've been guilty in my past of getting so, because sometimes when I'm venting, my mouth don't stop. And then I'll notice I was venting to somebody like 10 minutes later, and I'll go, yo, I think I overshared. I think that feeling. Yeah, like, I think that person is probably going to go tell somebody now, or they just think I'm crazy.
But you know what's ironic is those type of people, they you feel like that when you're around them, but then it's like, well, you kind of wonder like what issues they have going on then.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like, well, no, what if you're weird?
Yeah.
And you're just like, you don't know because they're not telling you, but it's just like, no, like if I had like a little peeping Tom camera through your window and I was just seeing some weird shit, like, no, you're a weirdo. You do weirder shit than I do.
Yeah. Shit. So. Oh my God. I mean, you and me have a long day tomorrow.
We do. I haven't even packed anything. So yeah, we do have a long day.
I think we'll wrap this episode up, but I'm just very happy we got to do this because I think this was a very lighthearted mental health podcast episode, which I liked though. I wanted it to be lighthearted, but we did get heavy. But you know, hopefully people out there could just relate to a lot of the stuff we're saying. And you know, I said this on my Instagram story, but I just wanted to reiterate too before you and me close out. Just thank you. For you know, this show went away for a while, and I feel like I keep saying this every other four episodes or so, but like, thanks for coming back and listening and watching, and Tina, just thank you for making the time to pop on here when you can, because you were a vital part in all the growing stages of the show. You and me did probably like 20 episodes straight, like. So it always means a lot to have you on here. And I mean, we're going to talk once I stop hitting record anyway. But I was going to say, where can they find you? But she doesn't want you to find her.
If it being where's Waldo, it's where's Tina?
Yeah.
But like, I'll be like Elf on the shelf. I'll just be hopping around places. But no, I honestly am always very, very appreciative and grateful every time I'm able to step into the audio asylum. I love this space and being able to have the free flow of conversation. So thank you so much for having me. Thank you to the audience for listening to us babble for an hour and some change over stuff that we're still going to babble about after we get off the camera.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So thank you so much for that. And on a serious though, if you guys seriously do want to find me on Instagram, I still am on Instagram. I re-put it back. I'm gonna just show y'all
this. It's _F.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, it's FVCKT.
See, that's a cute little picture of me right there, right there. And that's a little bio of what I'm up to, what I'm doing, right? So you just got to click the Addy button. And I promise you that I will do. Like, there's... Oh, wait, that's not the right one.
Yeah, that was your For You page.
I'm trying to show you the notify... I can't find it right now.
It's cool.
Y'all will be there and I will find you guys. Yeah. Don't worry.
FVCKT. If you want to follow my personal, it's _class_hero with the 0999 on Instagram. Follow us at audio_asylum_insta... Blah, whoa. Audio _asylum_podcast on Instagram, Asylum TV on YouTube. Check out Douchebag of the Week if you haven't already yet. That's a new video series we have. If you haven't listened to Shane Haste, formerly known as Shane Thorne, he was on the podcast if you're a wrestling fan. And we have a few guest announcements to make in the next month. And we'll be pumping out more podcasts and pumping out more videos and hopefully pumping out cum. Because we all need to come. So I'll end that.
Yes, sir.
I'll end it on a super light hearted, dirty note. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace.